Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County, with your host, Don Camber.
Hello, live from the OC Talk Radio studios at UCI's Beale Applied Innovation Center. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest impacting our community in a positive way. Today, I welcome the Moulton Company CEO, Jared K. Mathis. He oversees the Moult Museum, which showcases Orange County's history through artifacts from the late 1800s Moulton Ranch pioneers, Lewis F. Moulton, and his wife, Nellie Gale. The property today comprises much of Laguna Niguel, Laguna Woods, Laguna Hills, Laguna Beach, Dana Point, and Aliso Viejo. Thank you, Jared, for being on Impact OC.
Thank you, Don. It's my great pleasure to be here.
Jared, please give us an overview of the Moult Museum located in Laguna Hills.
Well, the Moult Museum, the intent is to honor Orange County history. Specifically, South Orange County is where many of the artifacts are from. And they are all a callback to what was the property that you just described that was known as Moulton Ranch, 22,000-acre ranch that was neighbors to the Irvine Ranch, basically went from Irvine to San Juan Capistrano. And we've been able to collect a number of artifacts within our family over the last 125 years, and they all were available to us to bring back to Orange County, and we took the chance to do it. We never thought we'd be in the museum business, but here we are, and we're making the best of it.
What kind of artifacts are in the museum?
Oh, gosh, you name it. Anything from telegrams to buggies to rifles and to pictures to just notes in between all the old Orange County families, furniture, ephemera. We have jewelry, all sorts of farming implements, you name it, we've got it.
Is it like you tell a story when you go in?
Well, so our first exhibition is called 1874 Into the West. And when you come into the Moulton Museum, you'll be able to see the footprint of the old ranch, and the story of 1874 Into the West is really the story of Lewis Moulton, my great-grandfather, coming from Boston around the Horn on a steamship through the Isthmus of Panama and landing in Orange County in 1874, and how he went immediately to work as a shepherd for the Irvine family and Rancho San Joaquin, and then how he ultimately acquired the ranch, met Nellie Gale, got married, and that's where we lead off to the next exhibition later. But that story is alive and well in the museum right now.
Explain the personalities of Lewis Moulton and his wife, Nellie Gale.
So Lewis is an interesting story, and we really wanted to get into his motivation. What takes somebody who was 20 years old in Boston and makes them decide to get on a ship and come to Orange County? And you really have to go back to the beginning. He was actually born in Illinois. His dad was a classmate of Abe Lincoln. Abe would come over to the house, bounce him on his knee, that sort of thing. And so he grew up with those stories, and that was before Abe Lincoln was president. And then after he was assassinated, Lewis's parents actually split. He went to Boston with his mother. Her last name was Fenno. The Fennos were pretty well established in Boston on Beacon Street and that sort of thing, in publishing and in wool. He could have had a very comfortable life, but he wasn't one to settle for such a thing, and so we really get into his influences and trying to understand what made him make that journey, because it had to take a lot of courage. And then he was a shepherd for almost 20 years before he was able to put it together to actually acquire the vision and the ranch.
And Nellie Gale?
Nellie Gale, when she was 6 months old, she was born in Irving, Kansas. Her first flight, as she described it, and I think it tells you a little bit about her personality, which I think answers your question. She described her first flight was when she was literally picked up by a pair of tornadoes in Irving, Kansas, and when she was 6 months old, threw her across their house, destroyed the house, destroyed most of the town. Legend would have it that those two tornadoes coming through that town at that time in Kansas was the inspiration for that opening scene in Wizard of Oz.
How about that?
She ended up in a covered wagon as a young child going west and ended up in the Pacific Northwest, where she was a teacher and principal ultimately in what is now Seattle. And her dad ran the El Toro General Store. Of course, most of South Orange County was known as El Toro at the time. And they did everything at the store. That's where the mail came. That's where, there were groceries. That's everything happened there. And her dad ran it. And she would come down in the summer times when she wasn't teaching or being an administrator to help out with the store. And that's where she met Lewis. And they were married in 1908.
Explain the programs that are available.
Well, we're working with teachers and administrators right now. Speaking of education, and Nellie Gale, working on our field trip program. We just opened in Labor Day of this last year. And so all of those things are in motion. Our goal is to have a school bus in front of the museum every week and serving lots of Orange County students from Saddleback and Capistrano school districts at first and move beyond that. So that's one thing I think that's really a high priority for us. Currently, we're open to the public to come and view for free on Tuesdays. Other than that, it's appointment only, where you can have events. You can also just schedule private tours.
I have to say, I'm amazed at how much you know, but I'd like to know, at what point did you know you were from a famous family?
Oh, gosh. Well, we didn't know much of anything growing up. I grew up on a farm an hour north of Sacramento. Now, that farm was born from the individual pieces of the ranch being sold back in the 60s and 70s. But that wasn't part of our reality at all. It wasn't until later in life, after college even, that I even understood that any of this was here. And I think that was by design. I mean, I think that we're very lucky in that Nellie Gale and Lewis and their two children, my great-aunt Louise and also my grandmother Charlotte, they, I think, instilled some pretty good values in that, you know, the fancy part of that stuff, it didn't really resonate. It was really about what you did that mattered and who you were as a person that mattered. So we didn't really get caught up in all of that, but it's fun to go diving into history and bringing all this information out. As it turns out, it's the right time.
And how did you land doing all this?
Well, everybody has a journey, right? And so I was a politics, public policy guy. I went to Pomona College in Claremont. I then was in the building industry for a while, working, starting in California, moving my way east, and I was in Washington, D.C. for a little over a decade. And when it came time for an opportunity out here, I came to Orange County back in 2013 and started piecing it all together in a way that made sense for the family. And really, the impetus behind the museum effort, outside of our daily business lives, was Nellie Gale's daughter, Louise, my great-aunt. She was nearing her 99th year, and she was the last one to leave Moulton Ranch. And her area of influence was basically Aliso Viejo. And that was where her headquarters were. That's where, you know, her house was. And so, as since she was the last one to leave the ranch, and this was early 70s, she had all the cool stuff that had been left behind by others and also that she still had herself. And she moved to Lompoc, north of Santa Barbara, and she bought a ranch there in a house that was supposed to be a golf clubhouse that never happened. The golf course was never built, but it had a huge, great room. And so she created kind of a personal museum there. And the only hiccup in that plan was that she really didn't like to have visitors, so nobody ever really saw it. In fact, if family came unannounced, she said, thank you, you need to make an appointment. Please, you know, come back later. And she had three husbands and no children. And her last husband, unfortunately, was more of a real estate developer than a farmer, and he ended up rolling a tractor on himself and dying not long after they had moved there. So with no children, no husband, this stuff, all these artifacts just sat perfectly preserved for decades and decades and decades until we got to the towards the end of her life and we said, what are we going to do with all this stuff? And of course, at that point, we had no idea what we actually had. And the only answer was, let's bring it back home. Let's bring it back to Orange County, where I don't think her heart ever left. Many of her magazines in her area, like living area, were from Balboa Bay Club, you know, and because I don't think any of the folks of Moulton family ever wanted to leave Orange County. Why would you? It was just the influences, taxes, water, all these things, and people and development that made it impossible to keep the ranch where it was. And rather than be developers, they still wanted to be ranchers, which the family still is, by and large. I'm the Yahoo in the city. So I grew up on a farm that still operates, and there's a number of farms that were born from it. So the long and the short of it is transition made us make a decision. And I think we made the right one because now all of those pieces are back where they came from. And it's also been a magnet for more pieces to follow, which is great.
But you had to figure out how to encase things and display them properly.
Right. Well, thankfully, I don't have to do that. We can rely on folks that graduated here locally from UCI, that historians and archivists that we've been able to work with, Jennifer and Cindy Keel. They've been great with us for the last 7 years archiving the whole collection and figuring out the best way to display these things.
Now, as I've been talking with you, you talk about Aliso Viejo and all these different cities. That's all part of your family.
Right. That was Dad's backyard, right? I get caught up in it a little bit sometimes when I'm driving and I see, boy, this is what they saw all the time, but except no houses and all of that sort of thing. But, you know, progress is progress. What are you going to do? Nobody is complaining. We've worked out just fine, and we're just glad to be able to bring some of this back to Orange County in a way that kids and adults alike can learn what it used to be like with real 100% accurate information. Nobody's telling this story for us. We can have the opportunity to tell it ourselves.
But yet, by the same token, when people tell stories that could be wrong, you're probably like first to correct them.
Well, it's nice to be able to have that opportunity now. Because the family left in the late 60s, early 70s. And so many narratives that were created in our absence didn't have the opportunity to be challenged. So now we can. Not that it's a big part of our day, but sometimes we have the opportunity.
Did you have, I don't want to say a normal upbringing, but an upbringing a lot similar to other families?
No. I think ours was much simpler. I had a black lab and a horse, I went to a high school and Northern California, that had 100 people in it that was public, and most of the kids in my 25-person class were folks I'd been in school with since kindergarten. So I think that's quite unique in a kind of a reverse way, you know, and so it was a very simple life. We lived on a dirt road, and yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way.
But when you travel around South Orange County, do you look at it in kind of an amazement with all the development that is occurring on your family's land?
Sure, of course. Well, I brought Dad back before he passed. He passed in 2019, and I brought him down here in 2016. He hadn't been back. He was a graduate of El Toro High. He was a tiller early on in El Toro High's lifetime. And I took him around on the streets, on Moulton Parkway, he didn't recognize a bit of it because all these trees that are in South Orange County or Orange County, they weren't here. Much of the dirt has been moved. I mean, just to build Aliso Viejo, it took more dirt than they used to build the Panama Canal. So that changes things. But I took him to Top of the World above Laguna Beach, and that was also part of the old ranch. The Laguna Canyon was the, I guess, northern border, up against Irvine Ranch. And then the property, Moulton Ranch, dipped behind Laguna Beach. But at Top of the World, that was still ranch property. And when I got him up there and he could look back on Wood Canyon, he saw it. He could see what it was and could start telling stories about what happened in those canyons and that sort of thing. So it just took a little bit of elevation. But from a street level, yeah, he could have been anywhere. He didn't, and hadn't seen it. You know, he couldn't see it.
But every time you talk about a city, don't you take such pride and talking about a city that's part of your family? I feel it just talking to you.
Sure, of course. I mean, I think everybody that lives in any of those cities, I mean, that we have the dirt in common, right? I mean, so their kids are playing on soccer fields, you know, that used to be wheat and barley fields, or, you know, where Dad would harvest, or where we'd have roundups. There's still corrals on the backside of Soka University in Wood Canyon. There's still standing corrals. And also in the heart of Aliso Viejo, I give the city of Aliso Viejo a lot of credit. They put a lot of resources into restoring and historically preserving and adaptively reusing the only remaining Moulton Ranch building. So it's nice to be able to see some of that stuff still exist.
What's the museum's vision?
To keep doing what we're doing, to bring history to life and honor what we call pioneer spirit. And, you know, it's simple stuff, but it's things that I think don't get hit on enough, or at least we think that. And we think that both Lewis and Nellie Gale were cut from a particular cloth, that they had a pioneer spirit about them. And they never stopped dreaming, right? And that's a big part of it. And they worked hard for what they got. And they were able to get kicked in the face and get back up, so they had perseverance. And they really cared about the folks in their community. And that's something that we feel strongly about. And they cared about the environment around them, and that's a key tenet for us as well.
Do you have any family members who are involved with the museum?
Yeah, my cousin Scott Barnes is our CFO and treasurer of the museum. So we get to work with each other every day, and the family puts a lot of trust in us to not only handle our business affairs on the Moulton Company side of life, but with the Moulton Museum, and we cherish that.
I hope it's okay for me to reveal that you did say you have children.
Sure.
And I'm wondering, do they realize the family that they're part of?
I think that they understand what we want them to, and I think it's to take the right lessons from it. They think the museum's pretty cool. They still think Dad's pretty cool right now. They're still young enough. We'll see how that ages.
What do you think is the coolest piece of art or that's in the exhibit?
So in the exhibit, there's just a ton of great stuff. And we, with our partners, guy by the name of Jags Knee, he and Scott helped put together a movie, a 12-minute movie about the journey, which is just really, really special. From a collection standpoint, the coolest story, I think, and when we, I think we knew we were onto something, I got a call from my cousin in Lompoc, that ranch that Louise had, and then this was after she passed, and he said, "Hey, I'm putting together a burn pile here of just a bunch of stuff I've pulled out of a horse tack room. But there's this tube, I don't know what it is, but I'll light it on fire unless you want to come, you know, see it." And because he wasn't sure. And I said, "Just hold on to it, I'll be right there." So I hopped in a car and got there, and I had no idea what it was. It was sealed. I brought it back home to Orange County. I got some pliers and I pried it open. And sure enough, it was the original Spanish land grant to Juan Avila from Ulysses S. Grant in the 1870s with the wax stamp from Congress in pristine condition. And when I saw that, I said, well, okay, we've got something. I mean, this is neat. And so let's keep digging, and we've just continued to find more treasure.
Well, how can the public see this museum?
Well, we're in Laguna Hills. We're off Cabot Road in La Paz, and we're open right now just one day a week, free to the public, on Tuesdays, 11 to 3. So we would encourage anybody to come on by after that, appointment only. And also, you can check us out at MoultonMuseum.org. You'll get a taste for some of the exhibitions. You can reach out. We also have a fundraiser right now that's going on called The Spirit of Giving, where we've got generous donors agreed to match any donation we get between now and the end of the year. So that's all available there, too. So that's how people can either give back or interface with us in any way they want.
That's pretty amazing that you have this incredible museum, and you're bringing ranching to life through the museum.
Yeah, we hope to. We hope to give people an idea of what life was like. We're also bringing technology to things. We're working with our friends at Laguna College of Art and Design and some folks at Sony. We have the old blueprints of the old ranch house that is now where the Laguna Hills Mall was. That's where Nellie Gale and Lewis, that's where they had their headquarters. And we have the original blueprints that we've been able to create a 3D hologram out of. And we're creating a whole world where our mascot, which is a bull named El Toro, can interact. And it will latch onto your face, and if you move closer to it, you can look in the windows and see exactly what it looked like back in 1908 when the house was built. We're also making sure that every artifact in the museum can be attached to augmented reality. So with your phone or with an iPad, you can look at a picture and it'll jump out at the wall, or it will add more information. For instance, we're going to be able to teach kids how to send a telegram by latching on to the image of a telegraph machine, and then El Toro will come on and teach the kids how to send a telegraph to Moulton headquarters, and Moulton headquarters will send one back. And so everything, our goal is to make everything high-tech as well.
But still, you want to have some of the regular stuff there.
Oh, yeah. No, you'll be able to take... Wells Fargo gave us over 400 pieces of history after they closed their Los Angeles branch, their museum. And so we have a gold mining cart from Wells Fargo. We have a number of other pieces, and you'll be able to put your phone in front of that gold mining cart, and it will tell its own story. So all these things are going to come alive. But yes, it's just like most museums in that way, except we're going to be able to do even more with technology.
Thank you, the Moulton Company CEO, Jared K. Mathis, for being on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.